And I almost want to say I'm glad that you shared it with me, but I'm also not happy to have heard this.
I know, I'm sorry. Because can you imagine, I'm literally sitting here cleaning around the house, got my Good Vibes playlist on, and then this.
Ain't morning anymore, so I can't say good morning. This, we're no longer doing drives to work for you. Wow.
Oh, no. First Wednesday, not going to work.
Yeah, but we are driving
to work.
That is funny. Is it really, do you really call what you're doing work right now?
What I'm gonna be doing until she picks me up, yeah. I'm gonna be going over what we started last night for the top secret project. going through continuing to get the Patreon set up. And then I've got a disturbingly long editing queue. And I consider all that work, like work that I enjoy, but it's work.
Yeah. You got plans with the photos too? Do you still have photos that you have to get it done and posted and figure it out? But that's part of the getting Patreon ready first. Mm-hmm. You got a priority list now, or how are you operating off of that? How are you figuring out how to operate? You still kind of working that out?
Yeah, I'm still working it out. Like, I have just a rough written list of like the priorities, and then because of neuro spiciness, I had that list and just kind of placed in the bottle with which thing I feel like I can will myself to.
Yeah. You did create a task list with AI that was supposed to be, I guess, worked with the neurospicy.
Part of it was helpful and then the other part wasn't.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was helpful in the list?
I honestly can't tell you. Okay. But there was two different things I had to do. One was successful and one was just like, okay, you completely missed the point.
You think having another task list like Notion would help? Where you actually see a list of tasks and you can see things marked completed and you can choose to reschedule and all this and that.
Maybe.
You could do a calendar view and all that stuff. I thought we were doing pretty well when we did implement that for a little while years ago. I keep saying I want to get it started, and I actually started designing it with Claude, but it's been moved to the side for a second too. One, because I don't want to be planning for you if that's not the way that you want to work. But also, it's just trying to figure out how to do something similar for myself as well. I'm trying to figure out my own system that really, really works. Like, I don't know if you saw, but I actually took out the paper calendar again or the planner and opened it and left it on my desk and started writing in some of the things for this week. But I think I need to get into that habit that I wanted to establish early this year of taking Sundays and writing out the schedule. Actually writing it out first and then putting it in, verifying that it's in sync with the phone after that, but maybe even take a photo of it and let AI handle the phone part of it and just verify it. I don't know. I'm looking at different ways. I'm seeing different ways to make AI help out. That for you, it wasn't helpful is what I'm hearing.
Part of it was helpful. Part of it wasn't. Like, creating the schedule was not helpful. It completely got that all the way wrong.
Okay.
But it did good with helping me put together like the priorities plan and like mapping, giving me like the bird's eye mapped out view of all the different plates that I currently have in the air.
Okay.
So that was helpful. But yeah, in terms of like structuring, scheduling, and like order and plan of getting things done, it was useless.
Not there yet.
Yeah.
If at all.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I actually started writing an article yesterday about how I'm learning how the way I work with AI determines the type of results I'm getting. Like the test I told you about the other day where I just did some stream of consciousness typing for a thought, and I put that same stream of consciousness, the same thing in the chat without putting it in a project. I put it into Claude without putting it into a project, and I put it into a Claude project that had a few instructions in there already, and then I put it into a Claude project that I'd been working with and really structured with the instructions and configured, and the results looked like they were drastically different. I haven't even looked at them, analyzed them. I wanted to look at them together with you, or I was going to do it on a live stream or something, but I'm really realizing that with AI, it it is very much about what you put into them. Like even this, the thoughts in transit, like I've got a lot of the process now for creating the episodes and publishing the episodes very much automated. Like this creates my show notes for me automatically. It gives me a prompt now as of yesterday to create the thumbnail that I can use pretty well and almost automate. It's almost to the point that I'll be able to hand this off to somebody else to at least start do a lot of this work if I wanted to be able to do it because of AI. It helped make that possible. So, I hope that wasn't I hope we're at the right speed limit on this. But, yep. But, so, AI.
This is why you will see us with a driver one day.
Absolutely.
Because Yanni doesn't drive, and he drives great. Just kidding.
Where's the next cliff? I'm about to find a cliff. It turns, it has wings. Mm. I just haven't shown you yet. Hit that button right there. Mm-hmm. But, AI, you had something AI related to show me after we've been I talked about the people I met last week that, or met with last week that talked to me about some AI music that they've been making and the Grayskull AI song that you heard us have the call about. Well, the song of the AI hook that we've been working our way through getting humans to replace or augment and all that. And then you said an AI song hit
another wonderful artists who actually are living, breathing beings.
Huh?
That just sounded crazier, so we're trying to get humans to replace. That just sounded wild.
Yeah.
So I had the artists, fellow artists of the human variety, vocalists, singers.
That too.
Crazy.
Yes. I guess words, labels. Mm-hmm. I have a challenge with labels. Mm-hmm. Calling myself this or that. Even human is... But maybe you said you had a song that you that grabbed your attention. Is now a time to maybe play that, or do you have a story to go with it first before?
I was listening to one of my playlists, and you know, some of the services, when your playlist is over, they'll start playing music that they think is relative to your playlist to like introduce you to music, and I was, you know, vibing, recognize some of the other songs, and then this song came on, and I was like, wait a minute. And then something about it just made me feel like, yo, this has gotta be, wait. And then I went and I looked at the cover, and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is AI. This is insane.
Mm.
And it was also insane because of what the song is.
Really? So when you say wait a minute, what was the wait a minute? Was it wait a minute like you're feeling it, or wait a minute, something else? You scared to admit that you were feeling the AI song?
Not just like how good it was and vibey it was, but also just like, I'm like, what does this mean? Like, this is terrifying.
That's part of what...
Because artists have already been dealing with the fucking struggle, just period, with industry. So something that can just rip and remix you instantaneously...
That's part of what my eye-opening experiences from last week's conversations but from my perspective, it's, yeah, I see that side already, like the concern about it replacing humans in a sense, or competing with humans in a field that's already oversaturated with humans. You want to call them artists, right? With people. Also just the damage that, you know, our concerns about AI in general, the impact on society, the impact on the planet, all that. But at the same time, I had those two conversations last week that gave me a perspective on AI music that I hadn't had. For example, in one of the conversations with Hadassah, for example, I got to see how AI music helped someone heal and help someone deal with something really traumatic and stressful that they were going through. And then I also saw through Tyler how AI music was helping somebody expand their artistry in a way that I can't front on. It was really creative stuff that he was doing with it. And he's somebody who plays a ukulele, and he was playing some other instrument I forgot the name of, but he would play those instruments and then he would make AI music with that, or he would write his own lyrics and then he would work with it. Like, seeing it, I was like, okay, I see use cases and I see valid spaces for it. And then the Grayskull song, The Beauty, how Kurt took Tobias's hook and turned that into something incredible that now we can take to other singers and say, hey, yo, can you give us something to replace this AI voice with? You, this helped us sketch out a concept. So I see use cases for it. At the same time, I see the this is terrifying part of it too. So in your experience, it was it just this is terrifying, but or yeah. Was it this is terrifying and this is dope too, and I feel conflicted about the fact that I like the song.
Oh, no, it was this is terrifying, and if it can happen to an artist this big, then all bets are off.
Up to an artist this big, so they, you heard it ripping off somebody else's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you're gonna recognize it immediately.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we probably have to stop, play it, and then come back then, huh? Because we probably want to play it through the speakers.
Oh.
Do you want to? Or?
I mean, it's up to you. I don't know.
I mean, we're not gonna be able to play it on the pod, at least not on the episode that we publish for copyright purposes, so, anyway.
So I'm gonna let him hear it. I can show you. I'm not gonna show him. You don't look, but I'm gonna let them see.
You wanna tell them the name?
What it is? No, because you're gonna know if I tell you the name. So okay. Don't look at the camera.
Okay.
And don't look. Yeah. So this is it, and we'll be back. Immediately your face.
Don't even if this was human, I wouldn't like it.
But there's a point where you're gonna recognize why I was like, it also reminded me of the Grayskull one because of the chorus. And this is the cover.
Do we have to hear more? No? Tell me what else we take
now. Ain't no. Roosevelt walking.
Roosevelt?
He said if Roosevelt was living, he wouldn't let this be.
What name did the original song say?
I don't remember. But then the Martin Luther was Roosevelt came before Martin Luther? Like, what? Okay, so that was it. That was the last part I wanted you to hear.
That was a lot.
About the if Roosevelt was living, he wouldn't let this be. And then if Martin Luther, like, you just took out the doctor, didn't give King, like, wow. Ugh.
And Martin Luther is also a figure in the church, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not Dr. King.
Oh, not
King.
Dr. King. No, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like there's a Martin Luther, like, or something like that. I don't know. Like, the Lutheran church, maybe? I don't know. I can't remember. But,
yeah. So okay. As I'm listening to...
I understand why you were disturbed.
Yeah, so as I'm listening to my vibes and my feel-good playlist, and it ends, and I'm, you know, other songs are popping up, and then this comes up, and I was like, this is not... They don't care. This is not the version I know. And then I look, and I see that cover, and I was like, oh, I think this is fucking AI. This is AI. And then I went to the comments, and I was like, and this is where the biggest problem happens. A whole bunch of folks who appear to be of the Caucasian variety in the comments, like, yes, this is the music that we need to believe in. Yes, brother, say your message and fight for what you, we stand behind you. This is the music that we need. And I was like, this is crazy.
Okay. How are you seeing through the comments whether somebody
the little icon?
Okay.
The YouTube avatar, yeah.
Yeah, and you know what's even worse is with bots.
It could be bots, yeah.
It could easily be bots, and that makes it even worse. Like you really somebody
AI
really
influence, on AI,
yeah, where you can really influence real world opinions, feelings, thoughts, mm-hmm. perception. All. Yeah.
So now you see why I said I was disturbed.
Another ugly side of tech in general, but AI especially. And since YouTube is technically social media of social media as well, streaming service, ugh.
So now you understand my disturbance and why I said it wasn't like, oh, this is good. It was
I
not
get it.
Disturbed.
And I almost want to say I'm glad that you shared it with me, but I'm also not happy to have heard this.
I know, I'm sorry.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm so happy
that
you did.
But can you imagine?
Did, especially with the, you know, what I'm thinking about and what I'm talking through and what I've been, you know, planning.
Yeah.
As I told you, but my goodness, man.
Because can you imagine? I'm literally sitting here cleaning around the house, got my Good Vibes playlist on. It comes to an end. It's throwing me some other good recommendations. And then this.
Yeah, nah.
In the mix. And it's also like, you thought that this was in par with the rest of my vibes from this playlist?
Yeah.
What? you thought this was the thing to suggest to me.
And I wonder if, because, you know, with YouTube ads, you can, I believe you can influence what, you know, what gets ranked and what puts in front of people. So I wonder if this is something that somebody can pay, a pay-to-play thing, almost payola from the radio station days, some another conversation.
Yeah.
But I wonder if this is a way to kind of create another form of payola where people can basically pay for AI to overtake.
To rank higher.
And rank higher than, you know, humans.
And the choice to have the cover be this African, or supposed to be African man, looking like they're in somewhere in the, I'm about to butcher this and call it all the wrong thing.
Don't but name the place.
Somewhere
in the motherland.
In the motherland, out in like nature, not clearly not looking to be in the village somewhere, but like in out in the lands with drums and very clearly brown, black brown folks behind him.
You know what makes this exponentially worse for me? Is I think I just heard, I believe this is the song. I just heard the drummer from this song telling the story about how Michael asked him to do electronic drums on this song. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Michael, with what this song is about, you know you need live drums. And Michael was like, well, just do the electronic drums just so we can get through the demo. So he said, okay, fine, acquiesced, did the electronic drums for the demo. And then Michael almost was trying to let it, but he said, Michael, you got to promise me we're going to do live drums. And Mike, and then he said, Mike was going to go back on his word. And he's like, Mike, you really going to break your word to me? And so Mike let him do the live drums on the song. I think this is the song. So knowing how hard, if this is the one that he went to make sure that an artist played the drums on this, to find out that now a computer has redone the whole song from the ground up with the subject matter, I wonder how the drummer would feel, much less how Mike would feel.
How Mike would feel knowing that this is,
yeah, and how
his legacy is being, this is being done to his legacy.
And now I'm curious about how Paris would feel too, since I've heard Paris was not very keen on some of what's happening with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting stuff. Wow. Well, that brings me back to the other part of what I wanted to talk about today too, I guess, in a sense, because what was our original mission with HFR?
Which one? We've had a couple.
Penultimate? Our original mission statement.
To rehumanize creators and help them feel seen as people.
Yeah. So the whole, to rehumanize creators, we're talking about digital stuff. But that gets me to the other thing I wanted to talk about today, which was the conversation we had last night where I asked you what your mission was.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had much more time to think about that, or did you want to share any of that, like where you are in that, and if it's something that's developing, if it's, you know, what? Just follow up on the conversation. Because I thought it was an interesting conversation. Yeah. I enjoyed the conversation.
Me too. So yeah, what I said last night was I feel like my penultimate mission in life is to live fully, and that really was like my mission and my goal. And then as I've lived more, it kind of morphed into life giving me an extra part of that mission, which then that addition was to live fully to the fullest that I can, and then to inspire others to do the same because of what my experience of living fully has given me. And it feels like I'm having so many moments, like, and not to be morbid, but I'm having so many moments of like just sure pure bliss and joy that I'm like, yes, if forbid anything happened, if I died, I have done and experienced so much that I could say, like, yeah, there's totally more that I could and would want to, but I can be at peace for the most part with. But I did experience some cool shit, connect with some amazing people, do some of the things that at one point I had just said, bucket list, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But taking that change and that pivot. Oh, let me multitask. Just turn to download. What'd you call it on your phone?
What's that? If we have to pause, we can.
No, it's cool. It's downloading. But yeah, so truly to live as fully and as richly and authentically as I can, and to inspire others to do the same, because I think the world is a better place when we are all living from this very present and deeply like rooted and experiential place. And I think almost everything that I do and have done, especially in my creative endeavors, has in some way, shape, or form, similar to like you were saying yesterday, that you realized everything you've done has been similarly like linked to your mission. I realized like everything that I've done has been similarly linked to that mission. Like when I perform, when I used to perform dance-wise, initially hearing folks' feedback be like, oh wow, like I felt something, you moved me emotionally, either to joy or to tears or to nostalgia or to memory.
Just give me your card.
Yeah, I needed to move.
Oh, okay. We're going to pause and come back. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because it's about to get hot here. The AC's off. It is about to turn to a sauna.
Sorry. What did you say?
I said, ew, I actually hear that song in my head now. I'm so sorry.
Talking about mission.
Yeah.
Were you still talking about that, or you had something else to say about the AI?
No, AI is done. Just the
one loves cannabis.
Coming soon. But yeah, so your mission, we left off. I'm sorry we had to cut you off, but do you remember where you were?
I think I was just saying, when I used to dance, like hearing people's feedback, and not used to dance, but dancing that did not involve apparatus, hearing people's experience, share their experience of witnessing me move, moved me to appreciate my movement practice and passion even more. And so that, I think, unconsciously originally became part of my mission, was to evoke emotion, thought, joy, beauty, kind of the same things that many artists hope for their art to do, to evoke something, to start a conversation, to stir thought. And I think still in my, I would like my existence to be a living inspiration, but not for people to be as I am or do as I do, but to be as they are and do as they do to their fullest and most authentic extent with our philosophy of, you know, do no harm and do your best. And right now I feel like that still feels accurate, because even with now having participated in my first aerial performance, I got that experience again and got to receive and hear how many people were impacted by my performance. One person decided they're going, two people, Vina being one of them, decided they're ready to take their first lyric class, and another person shared. And she did and loved it. And another person shared that they now felt inspired to give Lyra a try, even though pole has been their domain. And then a fellow friend at the studio, actually, who mainly plays with practices pole, also has started taking lyric classes again. And after their first class was like, I was in there, like, let me be like, throw the hoop at the end, and like, but let me not hit myself. And so just seeing how well it was received, how moving it was, how inspirational it was, and really moving back into a place of not feeling weird or guilty about acknowledging that I am impactful, and many of the things I do are impactful, because I've on and off struggled with that relationship, from internal voices and then external voices. You know, there's that bizarre dichotomy of like, it's only okay if it's someone outside of you acknowledging something or saying something, but the moment you do, it's weird, it's, oh, that's ick. You can't be the one to say that you're impactful or great or whatever. So I have often had challenges with navigating that, and I think I dealt with some of that following the performance with how do I articulate or communicate my experience, and then also the reality of it. Like, there was tears, there was noise, there was encore applause. Like, the room was alive. And then in my mind, like, my mind was immediately, when processing that, was like, oh, well, you know, it was like that, you know, for other people. Or it wasn't just about you, or they were hype for everybody, and, you know, that it wasn't something special, or you shouldn't take that to mean that, like, what you did, you know, was, you know, something, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But acknowledging that, like, yeah, it that was something, and it did mean something, so not discrediting myself and not discrediting, the life that was spoken into me afterward and the reactions and responses that people shared with their experience with it. And to me, that still feels quite in alignment with my mission, which is to be so authentically and live so fully that others feel it as well and feel inspired to do that in their own way, whatever that then means and looks like for them.
Yeah.
And it feels like what my answer was to certain elders growing up. I don't know, I'm just gonna trust the train of thought, but this was brought to mind to me just now. But there were elders who used to share with me or place on me saying like, you can or can't do this, or you must behave like this because you're a role model. They're younger folk who are younger than you that look up to you. So you have to be and do like X, Y, and Z. And I always hated that idea of being a role model, being somebody's leader. My response was always, that's not my responsibility. Like,
does role model equate you to a leader?
Well, those were the same words that they, all of those words individually had been placed on me. It's like, you're positions of leadership, you are leading, whether you like it or not, you're a role model. And so that means you need to be like X, Y, and Z. And I very hardly railed against that. And then coming to this, awareness for myself felt like a peaceful internal reconciliation of that, of I am by no means seeking or putting myself in a position to be a role model or influence or leader. I am simply living to my fullest and most authentic capacity, and that looks different day to day. And I'm not giving myself what it felt like was the burden and disingenuine task of being a role model or a leader who then changed who they are and how they move based on that idea in order to quote unquote not lead someone astray. Because for me, it felt like if somebody is meant to journey or experience or go through something, and this may sound real wild and crazy, sorry, I'm also trying to stop giving disclaimers for my shit, but I feel folk are going to go through the journey that they're going to go through, and sometimes whether you do or don't do a particular thing is not going to change the journey that somebody is meant to or needs to go down. And I feel me existing as I am, who I am, is going to impact whomever I come across with in life in whatever way that it's going to. And that's going to mean whatever it means for their story. It's going to mean whatever it means for my story in life. And becoming at peace with that, accepting that, because I think I got really in my head about how I was perceived and other people taking after me, and I was like, that's a burden that's not my own. Especially when it came to the fact that I was a youth myself and was being told that there are younger youth that are looking up to me, and so then that somehow then meant that I should be moving and embodying differently, which also just felt wildly unfair. And now that we have all the language around parentified children, whole another conversation, because that was always my rebuttal, was don't these folk have other elders, parents, guardians, whatever? Me existing and being and showing up as myself should not be so impactful, quote unquote, or influential, that trumps whoever is in these people's lives every day. They don't see me every day.
Well, and I'm not saying any of this to counter you, but I'm saying this to challenge the notion of bring the other conversation, the other part of the conversation into play to hear your thoughts on it. What about those people who don't have a parent, don't have parents or don't have involved parents, don't have connections with their parents, who do latch on to somebody like you? Do you feel that a sense of responsibility to them in any way?
I was in that situation.
This is not with judgment. This
no,
is
yeah,
this
I got you. Question. I was going to say I actually was in that situation twice with two individuals. And my response was the same. I was very honest and transparent about being human and figuring shit out myself and not being someone who has all the answers and should be taken up after, and encouraged talking to other people, and was like, I can give you my thoughts and opinions, but I also have no idea what living life as you is like, and also all I know is life as me and the choices that I'm making, which may or may not make sense for you. So in the same way, for me, whereas I was being told you should say this or you should say that or you should present yourself in this manner, I still disregarded that in these two situations of having that place of having two, these two individuals in completely separate situations, sort of, as the word used was attached, endear themselves to me. I did the same thing. I was like, I'm not going to change who I am and how I'm showing up simply because you have felt connected to me. And I also felt that because I am who I am and I'm showing up, the way that I'm showing up is why you felt, you saw, you experienced some sort of resonance. So it makes no sense for me to change because of that.
Okay, but my question I was getting at was, do you feel a sense of responsibility?
I did in a certain way, yeah.
No, not did, do. Yeah, I'm talking
like now?
Tense, yeah. I understand your past and your history, but I'm saying now with who you are today, and this is not with the steering, this is not a steering question, this is just honest, like, what is your honest feeling? There's no right or wrong answer to it.
I think possibly.
So I think every answer is valid and belongs where it belongs, and people shouldn't judge each other for whatever choices they make, but I just want to know,
depend on the situation, because the two things that comes to mind is that interpersonal, like it was what I was talking about historically. I'm getting there. So you said, do I feel responsible? Yes, no, and
I feel a responsibility to society.
Oh, no, society, no, I don't.
Okay.
And that was where I was going with my answer. I was going to say, I see it two ways. Interpersonally, I feel like if it's a one-on-one something, possibly, yes. On a societal level, grand scale, social media, social culture, no.
I don't mean social media, social culture. I mean, community. That's society. That's where you have impact, whether that community is in person, whether it's digital.
Do you
feel a sense of responsibility to your community, to society?
I think, yes, I do feel a sense of responsibility to my community to show up as authentically and as best that I can, following our ethos of do no harm and do your best.
Okay.
I do feel that sense, and then I also feel the responsibility of also the nuance of what that can look like. Like, some days my best is going to be, yo, I just can't. Or my best is going to be, okay, I crashed out, let me apologize.
Like that.
And acknowledging that, yeah, humaning is different every day.
Now, with that in mind, and now jumping back into the past, how do you feel about the people that, do you think the people who were bringing those notions to you back then had that same intention of you have a responsibility to your community, and they were trying to instill a responsibility to our community in you, or do you think there was something else in there? Was it a combination?
It was a combination, because they were very much, I think, probably meant well with, like, do well, be a good example, but it was completely and 100% anchored to the church and church philosophy. And I see harm in a lot of them, and inauthenticity.
That's a whole conversation in itself. it's worth getting into another day. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So for me, yeah, I definitely can see now that I'm outside of it that, yes, there was probably a whole lot of good intention and well-meaning and for the purpose of the greatest good of that community. But even then, for me, it was like, this feels inauthentic and also harmful with the different layers. Because then it was also just about, you're not asking me to just be myself and be authentic. You're asking me to be a particular image that behooves this particular image that you want of this community.
Yeah, that's not authentic to this community.
Or that's not authentic to me.
Or authentic to the person that's asking it of you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, you don't embody that yourself, but you're putting that on me. Is that part of it?
Yeah, or it would sometimes come from a place of, yeah, if I had the gifts and the talents that you do, I'd do it myself, but since I don't, it's on you to do it and to embody these things because you have this platform and these gifts and these talents that God has given you. So it makes the responsibility yours and not the rest of us who don't share that talent that you do.
This is my responsibility to judge you and tell you that you're wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Or to steer you in the way that is quote unquote right.
Yeah. That's beautiful, babe. I appreciate the conversation on that. Thank you very much. Do you have any other thoughts? I know we're getting into Baltimore. It's been quite a ride, and I try to keep these conversations somewhat short, but this one was a beautiful one, and I think it was time to... Well, I guess there's a little bit more to get into, though. I guess your first week out of work. We haven't talked on camera since you finished work, since your last day on the job. How you feeling after your time on the job is ended now?
Tired. I'm having that experience that I've been reading and learning about recently of how your nervous system, like when it gets back into rest and digest, sometimes you either, it manifests in extreme fatigue or even getting sick. And it's because your body, while it was in like the on, go, 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 or fight or flight or survival mode, did not feel that it had the safety or the capacity to break down and deal with some of the things internally or physically that it needed to. So it was putting it on the back burner and like burning the reserves.
Yeah.
And that once your body comes into rest and digest and is pivoting into a period of restoration or the ability to have space, it then does all the falling apart that it couldn't do whilst you needed to be on and like in it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm experiencing a lot of that. Like, I have definitely been very tired. I think we've both been moving through some tired and lethargy, and our bodies have been like really, really asking for a lot of rest. But I think we've also sort of learned that these periods tend to come ahead of something popping off.
And something beautiful.
Yeah, something really beautiful being on the horizon and feeding the energy store up for that. So I've also been just feeling excited and encouraged and like allowing myself to take the rest because of that, knowing now of what's typically on the other side of the deep rest. So yes, I'm finding myself in a state of deep rest. It did feel like for a second that I was just, my body was trying to come down with a cold or something. I was like, nah, absolutely not. We will not be doing any of that. So, you know, hopped on the remedies. And not even the remedies, but things that we do to the maintenance. So, yeah, but besides that, yeah, I think my brain and body are still orienting. It's definitely been a bit disorienting. There have been a structure and habit. Have still been waking up relatively early, which has been really surprising. Like, even with how tired I've been, I've still been up relatively early, and I intend to keep that so that that can now just be pivoted into HFR work.
So mental, emotional, mentally and emotionally, how are you? Like, where would you say you were mentally, emotionally on a scale of 1 to 10? last week and for you this week? And I know that question isn't necessarily clear, structured well, but can you put some sense to that?
I think mentally and emotionally last week, I was probably like a 6-7. Now, if you talk about like the week before that, or like 2 weeks ago, yeah, it was probably like a 4-5. Like, I was having panic and anxiety attacks left and right. Yeah. Like, all of it was happening.
Yeah.
So, I would say 2 weeks plus ago, prior to submitting my 2 weeks, and then just after submitting my 2 weeks, I guess it was panic and anxiety attacks left and right, and all the voices in the head about, like, what are you doing? What have you done? There's no plan. You fucked up. But I think as my nervous system is recalibrating, it's like, okay, no. This is what you needed to do. This is what was next in the flow and the plans. You are safe. Everything is working out as it needs to. Everything is taken care of. Just keep one foot in front of the other. Keep breathing and, you know, doing your practices, which I am. And I think that's changing the whole experience as well, too. So I would say now I'm probably at a solid 8-9, definitely not a 10 yet, but I'm rarely at a 10, which I am having the intention to actually reach 10 space. Like, that is a life goal.
That's dope.
To exist in that 8-10 bracket more often versus, like, I used to tell you all the time, I'm like, I'm chronically between a 4 and a 6, and, you know, if it's a 7, we lucky, and an 8, like, shit must be amazing. So to be feeling that between 7-9 right now, like feeling that a solid 8, yeah, it's really incredible. I know a lot of that has come from really learning to trust myself and just the trust and synchronicity and symbiosis we have been experiencing together, like individually and then as a unit, and the way that that's also been fortifying me through this change, I think cannot be understated, and my gratitude cannot be understated. Like, I truly appreciate you for how you have truly been an anchor and a solid foundation and support and encouragement as I've gone through this change. Like, you were very supportive of the change, and you were very adamant about this has to be your decision and I'm going to support you regardless, but also did a great job mirroring and holding space for the validity of my experience without attempting to sway. Because sometimes we do that, like, for the people we love. It's just like, I just want you to be great. And so, like, do this because this could, you know, be better for you. But how you were very much like, you know, this is your life, your journey, your walk. And I want you to be able to stand behind whatever the choice it is that you feel that you need to make without feeling like there was any sway or having any question or any doubt about the decision, because it's my own. And if there are any questions or any doubt, it's still just on me because I made the decision. And I think that was incredibly encouraging and liberating, and I'm very grateful for that, especially as I've been working towards once more being very decisive and not feeling like I need affirmation or confirmation from external sources to be able to move and do the things that I feel called to do. And that has been incredibly nourishing, nurturing. And I feel like another one of those ways where we've kind of talked about before, where there's certain things in life where we feel like we've been reparenting each other through and re-nurturing each other through. I think that's one way where you've definitely been helping to guide me through reparenting myself through that. And I'm very grateful, very, very grateful for that, because it has been wildly uncomfortable. But to know that I can, like, come and talk to you, and, like, even when it feels frustrating or heavy and you're like, hey, all right, like, I don't know if I'm going to keep having this conversation because it's pissing me off. But that the fact that you've been open to, and like, okay, but we can. The situation. And how you would then be like, okay, like, we take 5, let's change the subject, do something else for a moment. And, you know, if you need to talk about it more later, like, let's talk about it later. But yeah, like, I think that was very, very helpful for helping me sort through how to personally regulate, but also not devolve into a place of like, oh, I'm impacting my person and like he's suffering now because I'm suffering. And I really appreciated that you made it very clear, like, it's not you, it's the situation. And that your whole thing was just, I want you to be good and I want you to be better, and whatever the resolve of this situation looks like, my only ask is that you be good and be thriving and able to be as I want to be. And that was like, invaluable. Like, cannot put word or like human language to how helpful that was. And at times frustrating, because sometimes I definitely did feel like, yo, I do just want you to just be like, yo, just do this. This is the answer. This is the way. But I definitely appreciate you holding me to that, holding that space for me to arrive on my own. And I'm definitely very grateful for that opportunity. And to have just been able to see what you living and being and doing that yourself has also looked like, and how that was able to be my inspiration. So kind of how I was saying, going back to the mission thing, that living and being my most authentic and fullest self, seeing you do the same with the projects that you've been honchoing with Grayskull and with your mother and with James, like how you embodying God has opened doors and has altered your life in that way. And so reminding myself that in the same way, when I do those things, the same thing happens for me. And so I felt like you've been an incredible mirror and reflection of that for me during a time where I felt like I was being presented with like, you got to go through this lesson again, you got to loop back through this, or we breaking this cycle, like there's no spoon. Like, are we here?
You said there's no spoon.
The Matrix reference. Yeah, when the boy was bending. So that is where I feel like I have landed back, and it's just a daily reminder to rest into that, be into that, and trust the process, the experience.
I heard you say in there that this is part of the plan or something to that effect, but I heard the word plan in there. And since we were just talking about mission, and since you said that, is there, when you say the plan, what do you mean by that? How do you articulate that?
That's a good question. I think that's, for me, loosely, like, because we've set the intention and know, like, a lot of our big picture goals and desires. When I say part of the plan, I think I mean just part of the journey, part of the road to that experience, and to us being able to build, create, establish, experience those things. Like, there was something in all of the things I've experienced over the last 6+ months that it's going to feed our big picture.
What we've been aiming to do in the long run. One of the things we've been aiming to do, because we got a bunch of things. But I see. Okay. Cool. I like that.
And accepting that I may not be able to see like exactly what that is in this moment, or how all the little nuggets and nuance will play in the bigger picture, but that they are a part.
Keep stepping on the ground appears. Before the ground appears.
Yeah, and so it definitely has felt like a use the force, Luke moment of just lean in on the force, trust the process, we're doing our parts of this like cosmic tango, this cosmic collaboration of asking more questions, doing more things, doing the toddler thing of just like turning over other random rocks and being like, what's under here? Is this gonna plug and play? Or, okay, no, let's put that one back. And just being comfortable with that. That not knowing, or that non-definitiveness of this period.
Okay. It's lovely, David. I like the cosmic collaboration. Got me thinking about quantum collaboration, too. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I might have to put that in my pocket for later.
Yeah, I was trying to do your alliteration, your CC, but quantum still does. I think my brain was like, but that's not a C. Yeah. But it does have the same sound. Mm-hmm. Quantum collaboration and cosmic collaboration. It still has that sound.
Yeah.
So it's instead of.
Yeah, I guess I'm using alliteration too much, too, because AI tried to call me out. Said, sure, you want to do alliteration? I said, yes.
But that's one of your things. I feel like that, like, there's different things I feel like we all have that are like a, oh, that's so-and-so's thing. And I feel like that's one of your, like,
yeah,
things.
I love it. Yeah, I'm not changing just because the computer says something. Even if a human said it, I don't care. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the feel of it, the aesthetic of it. It's just like saying I love purple or I love orange. Mm-hmm. I will not like my color because you
say because something. It doesn't resonate with you.
Because there's some rule. Yeah. So, hey. That's beautiful, baby. Appreciate the conversation and appreciate you taking the journey, especially through the uncomfortable parts of the conversation that where you may have felt challenged or anything. Did you feel challenged at all? Cool.
I think that's another part of this experience. 111 recently has just really helped me get out of that really bad habit I developed over the last year of like second guessing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what triggered that.
What, the habit of second guessing?
Yeah.
Don't think it could be societally influenced and familially influenced?
Yeah, I think it could. I was just saying I didn't know specifically like what in particular or what amalgamation of things led to it. But yes, those that you just listed likely influence.
Yeah. That's, at least I know that's how it is for me. It came from social circles and family largely, and maybe to a lesser degree social media, but I would think that, you know, maybe to a greater degree social media in your space, in your time, because of its role in your eras.
And I would say especially social media, but not in the sense of like being influenced by a particular thing or person. I think what just came to mind was a Caribbean of some sort. I don't remember if it was Jamaican or not. Food spot. Because there's a grocery store right there and I remember it being close to the grocery store.
Well, Oz and Q were just telling me about some spot around here recently. Actually, Ja King and Quaz were just talking about things around this area, so maybe it is.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't know whether they have
vegan
there
now. One of the few places to get authentic. I think that was part of the conversation,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I think, it might be the same spot, but yeah, I remember it being really good.
Maybe we'll find out this evening.
So, yeah. I think, for me, it was really... Oh, and I love those balconies that you could get out from the window and sit on. The prospect of cancellation. And the fear of just not being able to move through the world the way that I desire because of something I said or did that was not received well, perceived as offense, taken as offense, or actually offense, all of the above. But just having to reckon with, like, that's no way to live. And it's like, I've survived.
This isn't any way to be living.
Yeah, and it's like I have survived and lived through so many other things at this point that it's just like, yeah, there is no point in letting that dictate how I do or don't show up.
And you just gave me flashbacks to two different verses. One from This Is Us, where I say, this isn't any way to be living. You're devout, don't want to hear what I'm talking about. And then also...
You wonder why the law is locking me out.
Mm-hmm. And then, that's all I got till we get it or we cancel, mm-hmm. with the Dow song.
Oh, St. Paul Street. So many memories.
Flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so coming back into my audaciousness and not fearing that anymore, because that was a comment I got a lot too. Her audacity. She had the audacity to wear that, to say that, to be like that. Who does she think she is? And I was like, me, motherfucker. I don't know. And let me not say I don't know. That getting out of that habit too, like saying I don't know to everything. No, I do know.
Man, I'm happy.
Getting comfortable with saying that shit again. Like, I'm happy. I know what I want. I know what I want to be doing. And that's something else I've been, you know, moving through too, is as people have been asking, yeah, so what's next? And what are you doing? And yeah, just being like, actually, I really just, I don't know. I'm figuring that shit out. Mm-hmm. And opportunities are showing up in different areas and ways. And it's like, okay, let's just see like what is speaking in the moment, but also knowing like really what my heart is being pulled towards, and now not feeling shame about saying it. Yeah. Or is, even though it's the whole like getting out of the headspace of like, oh well, based on the way things typically go and how society is shaped, that can't happen. Like, get dropping that shit and be like, no, like, this is how I've operated since I was a kid. I've been like, I know what I want and I know I'm gonna experience it, and then it happens.
Yeah.
And just being in that space, being in that bubble. I'm a feral fucking fairy, and that's my power.
I think that sounds like that's it, that's all moment. That's all.
Also, I got that from him. He is the one who called me a feral fairy.
You had the F word. Look at me not being a potty mouth. I'm proud of myself.
My potty mouth purchased a penthouse.
Thanks. I see it coming. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm done. Peace, party people.
Bye.